नमो तस्सा भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्सा। नमो तस्सा भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्सा। नमो तस्सा भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्सा। अत्तानं रक्खन्तो परं रक्खति, परं रक्खन्तो अत्तानं रक्खति ते। So living here in this nice and quiet place in the midst of the West Sussex countryside, it feels very kind of safe and far away from any sort of troubles of society out there. Some of the monks and nuns are in the forest on retreat, staying in a little hut, just living out there with the animals and the elements, and only coming to pick up their food once a day. So kind of an ideal way to spend this time, quiet time. And yet we are still dependent on people bringing food and all kinds of other interactions with the world out there. So we cannot be completely cut off from society. But it's good to have a balance between this looking inwards and an external engagement. I have some kind of a balanced relationship between the two, the inner and the outer. Otherwise, you know, one can get lost either way. And especially these days, with all the news we hear on the coronavirus spreading, more and more cases, even here in Britain. So people tend to get concerned, worried. So what's the kind of Buddhist approach or Buddhist attitude that one should take to this? Well, there is one interesting teaching by the Buddha on the topic of satipatthana, or establishing of mindfulness, which is kind of related to this, because the Buddha gives an example, a kind of metaphor of the two acrobats. He said it's like these this master with an apprentice acrobat, and they come to the market in the town, to the marketplace, and they are going to perform their kind of tricks. And it's a trick involves the younger, the apprentice, climbing up this pole that the older acrobat is holding in his hands or on his head, I'm not sure. And then he has to climb the pole and then do some something, kind of trick on the top of the pole. So the older acrobat says to the apprentice, I'll be watching you carefully, and you'll be watching me, and in that way we will not make any mistake, and we will perform this kind of exercise, and you will not fall down. But then the apprentice says, oh, no master, that's not the way, you know. I'll be watching myself, I'll be protecting myself. You watch yourself, protecting yourself, and in that way we will accomplish our aim, and we will perform this this exercise successfully. And then the Buddha says, well, that is the apprentice was right, that's the right principle here, that's the right attitude to take, is you have to be first of all aware of what's going on, say in your mind, your actions, be very careful, very observant what you're doing, and you'll be doing your part of the task, and then the other, the partner, the other one, he will be again watching what he's doing very carefully, and in that way both sides will be responsible for their actions, and the cooperation will be successful in that way. So this is just a metaphor, but then the Buddha adds to that. He says, how does one, you know, like talking about mindfulness, how does one practice accordingly, protecting oneself, one protects others? He says that refers to developing and cultivating the practice of meditation. Yeah, so this word bhavana, cultivation, development, means developing various good qualities in the mind, strengthening the mind, making it very clear, very, very stable, being able to see clearly. That's the inner aspect. And then protecting others, one protects oneself. That refers to the, you know, how we deal with the people around us and the world out there, our attitude, how we approach the world, and that is through patience and forbearance, and through compassion and friendliness, through metta. Having that attitude, then we'll be protecting ourselves, because we won't engage in sort of conflicts and get sort of too caught up in the world out there, and will be helpful to the society around us, to the people around us. So that's how to strike the balance between these two aspects. It's a simile or a metaphor that can be applied in many different ways, different levels. Just like now, dealing with this issue of the contagious disease, you know, virus spreading from one country to many other countries around the world. And then people, of course, if somebody only has their own interest in mind, then they might behave irresponsibly. You know, someone who, say, comes from an area which is likely to be infected and will be easy to contract the illness, the virus, then only caring about themselves, they'll just not care and travel somewhere, and then have close contact with other people and might infect a whole area, a whole town, a city, full of many people, like we have seen. So that means, like, not protecting oneself, one doesn't protect others, and both sides, you know, and then come to ruin. And so there has to be this sort of carefulness, first of all knowing what is good for oneself. It's the other kind of principle that Buddha often mention, you know, whatever you do, any kind of action, speech or bodily action, engaging in any sort of activity, you know, one has to know, is this for the benefit of myself? Is it for the benefit of the other person? Or is it for the benefit of both? So neither one is separate or takes precedence. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it's good for myself, and not good for others, well, that's obviously not it. But also, it's good for others, but not good for myself. And that's not it either. It has to be, the benefit has to go both ways. Be beneficial for others and for oneself. That's the sort of highest way of acting. And with this particular situation, that's the true meaning of interconnectedness. When you look at around the world now, maybe countries that might have seen far apart and separate and national borders, and people think in terms of separate states and continents and so on, that shows itself to be mere fiction, fantasy, because it's just a concept created on maps, and you draw lines on the map. It might work like that, but in real life and just natural world doesn't respect boundaries and borders like that. So things like viruses obviously don't care and move around freely, and that's it. Nobody can be cut off. It's interdependent. Every part of the world can influence another part of the world, which shows the great vulnerability of this whole system. Any kind of interconnected system is vulnerable to, when something happens in one place, it affects every other place or individual. So that's the nature of samsara, only this kind of cycle of birth and death, rising and passing away. And that's the true nature of it. It can be seen very clearly now. Also, the Buddha did teach on one occasion that, reflecting this fact of it, of interdependence and not being able to separate oneself from really any other being, any other situation. He said if one sees or hears about somebody who is in great distress or suffering some bad fate or in an undesirable, painful situation, rather than feeling aversion to them, feeling kind of separation from them and rejecting them, one should reflect, turn it around and reflect, oh, we ourselves, myself, sometime in this sort of cycle, endless cycle of birth and death, of arising and passing away, this samsara, I have also been in that situation before, definitely, I've been there myself. So if I was to feel resentful and reject this person at the present, that wouldn't be good, because it's the same situation I was in. So putting oneself in the place of another, somebody else's shoes. But also the reverse is true. When seeing a person or a situation where somebody experiences a great fortune and success and a lot of happiness, instead of feeling, say, envy or just some kind of adoration towards them, one should remind oneself, well, in this great sort of length of time, beings coming and going, I've been there myself. I've also sometime in the past experienced such a fortunate situation, happiness. So again, there's no need to to feel envious or any kind of unwholesome emotion like that. But one can see that these good fortune, bad fortune, these are called the loka dhamma, the worldly conditions that come and go, the ups and downs of life, gain and loss, happiness, suffering, good fortune, bad fortune, know, fame and praise and blame, these things, they are very unreliable. And ordinary people, they get attached to the ups and resentful towards the downs. But like a person with right view, the Buddha said, they feel like it's the same, you know, they have the same weight. The pleasant and the unpleasant, the ups and downs, they don't disturb the mind. One can remain equanimous no matter what happens. So that's the reflection on like this current situation. So, of course, for us, it's a great opportunity to practice, say, like mindfulness of the body. That can have very practical aspects, you know. It doesn't just mean focusing on your nose and breathing in, breathing out, but an essential part of this kaya gata sati means paying attention to the four postures: sitting, standing, walking, lying down. Those four physical postures that we'll go through the day, you know, changing from one posture to the other. But then the Buddha taught another more refined aspect, which is the sampajanya aspect, the clear comprehension of like what we are doing right now in terms of the more refined changes in posture. He said like stretching one's arms, turning around, looking here, looking there, taking a step here and there. Anything that one does during the day, being clearly aware, clear awareness, and comprehending also like the purpose of what is doing, what's the purpose of what am I attempting to do now with this particular physical action. You know, I'm reaching for something that I need to know, you know, what I'm about to do, say like working in the kitchen, you know, not being absent-minded, in other words, not being scattered, but clearly knowing, you know, what the purpose is of the action one is about to do. So that's called sampajanya, or knowing clearly, clear comprehension of one's actions. And of course that these days now, if you are aware that there's like a danger of being infected by touching some surface or being in close contact with some person who might have this virus, then that's exactly where you need to be alert, not absent-minded, and be careful. That's the meaning of that word, appamada, or being heedful, heedfulness. Careful and heedful. So not, you know, being sort of carelessly touching this and that, and then touching one's face, and then transmitting this virus and getting sick oneself, and then spreading it around to other people. So anything we do, you know, using the kitchen, cups and spoons, you know, we have all these sort of monastic etiquette and rules on how to clean everything properly after one has used things, or cleaning after other people. This is very much part of the, you know, monastic etiquette, but being even more careful now. But there were obvious reasons why the Buddha made this part of the monastic training, because of course in India in those days there were infectious diseases around that would spread easily, so one had to be careful. Also using the toilets and cleaning everything properly after oneself. So these days it's probably easier to maintain all this sort of hygiene. We have all these sort of chemicals help us clean everything, but again we have to be not absent-minded and know what we're doing. Even one person living in a place like this, if one person is absent-minded and scattered and say leaves some virus somewhere on a surface that other people are going to touch, then that could spread it to everyone. So anyway, it's a good opportunity to really practice mindfulness, clear awareness, satisampajanya. These sort of practices gain a new meaning for us. And of course, in a broader sense, all these words that the Buddha used to describe the, you know, talk about the mind, the nature of the mind, there were all kinds of terms used, like kilesa, meaning defilements, all kinds of unwelcome, undesirable things that are kind of coming into the mind and making it impure and then causing actions and speech that are unskillful. And greed, hatred, and delusion, those three, lobha, dosa, moha, the three called the roots of the unwholesome. You could see those as a kind of virus in the mind. And once it gets infected, then all the actions, the speech, the thoughts will be unwholesome. So just using this as a reflection at this time. It has probably many other applications in different contexts, kind of on the like the ethical, moral level, you know, how to deal with the world, you know, one's actions in the world, how we impact other people, that sense of protecting others through our actions, being harmless. You can apply that in many different situations. So we could see that as a kind of principle of the social responsibility according to Buddhism. There are other teachings, more detailed teachings by the Buddha, where he describes it and teaches it in more detail, practical examples. But this is the principle, really. It's very nicely and clearly explained. If you bear in mind that image of the two acrobats, then that makes it very clear. You know, like standing on top of the pole held by the master, that apprentice maybe doing a headstand or something like that, very precarious. You know, the apprentice has to be extremely careful about every movement. Another example the Buddha gave about mindfulness of the body was like carrying a bowl full of oil, you know, full to the brim, so that if you make any kind of movement, careless movement, it'll spill. And then you are given the task to carry this bowl of oil walking on a beam or something, very narrow, walking between a crowd, like a cheering crowd, and a dancing girl, a beautiful dancing girl. So there's this kind of very excited scene, and you have to walk right in the middle of it and not spill a drop of oil. So, and that's compared to maintaining constant mindfulness of the body. You have to be that careful, that kind of alert, and again, not being scattered. So, just keep these images in mind. It can be helpful. And recollecting them when we have interactions with others. And even if one is dwelling alone in the forest, in a hut, then that's when one is working on that bhavana, the development or cultivation of wholesome qualities, so that when one then comes out of the seclusion, solitary retreat, then that's when one can actually apply it, whatever qualities one has developed through this bhavana or cultivation. That's the chance then to show, you know, to apply them in that social aspect, coming into contact with other people, practicing restraint, patient forbearance and compassion, friendliness, those qualities. So, finish it.
Andamiyang dhammakata sadukaranda dhammasena.